Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You're gonna get hard.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Yeah, Clint Sterner's not here. If he was, though, he'd probably talk a little bit about poop, probably mix in some Astros this segment as part of his Dirty Daily.
Probably talk about how soft dudes are if they can't handle the summers in Houston.
Yeah.
Dirty South player, Clint Sterner.
I think today, if Clint was actually here, he'd probably talk about the college baseball game last night that was coughed up by his Razorbacks.
Got him.
I'm just saying, no, I'm being for real. Like, he was probably very affected by that.
No, I know you are. I just like laughing at Clint.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, and then he'd probably tell us about, you know, his behaviors that most folks, good folks, would frown upon, you know, like not wiping your own nasty ass sweat off a public gym machine.
That was just foul as well.
It's so foul. It's so inconsiderate. But yeah, those are all things you'd probably hear right about now. But Clint ain't here.
That was such a weird take by him a few weeks ago, how he doesn't wipe his sweat off of gym equipment.
Dude, right?
It's weird.
He gets like hard-ass about these things, and I'm like, bro, just be better.
He's bougie. He's a little bougie.
Oh, hell yeah, he is. And he's a country old boy, but he makes sure every hair's in its proper place, and he's a bougie boy.
Yeah, yeah. I was very surprised.
Love you, Dirty.
Part of me didn't believe him, actually, on that. But
oh, no. I mean,
co-sign that?
I guess I mean, there's no way for me to know 100% either, but I would say, I mean, the way he was acting at certain points and looking at me through this glass whenever I was pushing back on him and how nasty and inconsiderate that was not to wipe up his sweat.
Yeah.
He looked pretty serious to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe putting on. Well, we get to talk about this, man. What do y'all think of the Rockets and Ime Udoka agreeing to a long-term contract extension? It says multi-year on many reports, long-term. We don't know how long it is.
No, I thought I saw a post earlier today that said five, but I now can't locate it. So either I read something different and I confused it,
yeah,
or whoever posted it couldn't verify that. You know, they posted without a verification, or they found out it was wrong and they deleted it.
Screw that person. So, if their name isn't Kelly Eco or Shams, I don't believe them.
The bottom line being, the Rockets handling the business they needed to handle, which is Ime has completely changed the culture of this team. Every, you know, guys around the league love Ime Udoka, and This was what they needed to do.
Especially maybe their most sought-after trade target really likes Ime Udoka and Kevin Durant.
And if they're paying Ime eight figures, as I, you know, Pat McAfee mentioned, the eight figures, good, he's worth it.
Well, Shams said in his report this morning that the deal makes Udoka one of the highest-paid coaches in the league. So I pulled up a list.
Give that man his money.
The highest paid coaches in the league as of this past season. And there have been quite a few changes, obviously, since. Steve Kerr, Golden State Warriors, $17.5 million per.
He's got to be making over $15 million, right?
Greg Popovich, Spurs, retired, was making $17 million. Eric Spoelstra, Heat, makes $15 million, not fired. Ty Lue. Where's Ty Lue coaching these days? Is he Clippers? Is Ty Lue Clippers coach? $15 million, nevertheless. Not fired, also. Mike Malone, Denver, fired, was making $12 million.
I believe Ty Lue is the Clippers.
Doc Rivers, Milwaukee, fired, was making $11 million. Tom Thibodeau, Knicks, fired, was making $11 million. Budenholzer, Phoenix, fired, making $10 million. All of those coaches, only three of them now before Udoka, was are still currently employed in making well above the $10 million per season mark to coach basketball players. Udoka, to be among the highest paid coaches now, probably somewhere between 10 and 15 million per. That's really good. Obviously, he's earned it.
All the monies.
Don't want to really talk about that because, look, we've all watched it, witnessed it, and it's been great. He's won 93 games in his 3 years as Rockets head coach, which is a quick radio math, 34 regular season game improvement from the number of games that the Rockets won under Steven Silas for
he's,
3 years.
He's only been coach for 2 years.
Oh, sorry, 2 years. Did I say three?
Three. He's only been coached for 2 years.
Okay, well, the 3 years is the 3 years that existed before him with Steven Silas.
2 years,
with 59.
93 wins.
Yeah, 3 years, 93 wins. That would have sucked. But yeah, people know what I meant. Quick radio math.
People know what you meant because you are the GOAT, as evidenced on your shirt.
I think it's a good deal by the Rockets just from an optics standpoint. Obviously, Udoka earned it. But in a really pivotal offseason like this is for the Rockets, whether it's Kevin Durant or not, like, you don't, the one thing a guy who is not committed beyond this year to anybody, Kevin Durant, 1 year, $54 million left on his contract. If he's going to go somewhere and with the thought in mind that I'm going to help a team win a championship for at least one season, he'd probably want to know that the head coach, at the very least, of the team that he would be traded to, maybe per his request, is going to be there and the organization's going to be committed to him. So from that standpoint, that's a great thing. It's good optically. It makes a lot of sense. But beyond Kevin Durant, there could be XYZ unnamed players that we haven't even talked about that very well might turn into the center part of this discussion with how the Rockets get better this offseason. So, if it doesn't involve Durant.
So part of the reporting on Durant is that Durant, wherever he gets traded to, he wants an extension. So in trading for Durant, you need to know if he is going to sign an extension.
Kevin Durant wants to get paid $60 million per?
Yes.
Shocking.
I know,
of course he wants that.
So, and this is why, you know, when you hear Durant talk about, or, well, just the reporting around Durant about Durant's not going to sign an extension here or there, that makes that team kind of say, all right, well, you know, maybe I don't really want to be involved in this because I'm not giving up all of these assets to have him for a year be unhappy and then leave. And this is why, you know, like teams like Minnesota and Toronto, for all the reporting being done about them, if Durant doesn't want to be there and he's not going to sign there, how do you justify giving up all those assets to get him for 1 year and he leaves?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is we'll have more on this when Keith Smith joins us at 4:40. He's been covering the NBA for over 20 years. Keith will be joining us at 4:40. We'll ask him more about it because
I saw, by the way, on this Keith Smith fella that he contributes to Spotrac.
Yes.
Or Spotrac.
Spotrac.
We will find out for sure how exactly.
Oh, no, I've had the owner of Spotrac on. He told us it was Spotrac.
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 Thank you for sharing it with the rest of us.
Because at the time.
They spelled it wrong then.
At the time, I thought it was Spotrac, and he corrected me.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
And I said, wait, so it's Spotrac? And he says, it's Spotrac. And I said, oh, we did not know this.
Good to know. All right, so I will not make that mistake asking Keith about that situation. Yeah, so we'll find out more, see what he knows about the Kevin Durant deal, but
he's also covered the Celtics for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he will know about what's going on with the Celtics. Is, you know, they're obviously looking to move payroll and
Boston.
How possible is it Jaylen Brown is, even if the price is exorbitant, available?
Yeah, I mean, I saw reports earlier today that people are sending some preposterous trade ideas to the Boston Celtics for Jaylen Brown's services. And the question is like, how high do you have to go to get him? And
how high do you have to be to put together a deal that they're going to accept?
Yeah, well,
that's
the thing. It's like, how badly really do the Boston Celtics want to trim payroll? And like every team to a certain degree, I have to imagine, even with that in mind, like you want to trim payroll, especially in a year that you may think is FUBAR because Jason Tatum's not going to play any basketball for you at all. Isn't there always an untouchable? Wouldn't Jaylen Brown be an untouchable, or is he at the stage of his career where it's like, you know what? We had some really great years with him. Let's see what we can get for this guy.
I think they have a very interesting dilemma, right? Which is Jason Tatum's going to miss the whole year. In their hierarchy, Jason Tatum is the one.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown is the two. If you go into this year with Jaylen as your one and he takes off, well, what does that do to your dynamic? Because Jason Tatum's not going to come back and think, oh, I should just defer to Jaylen Brown now. Right? He thinks he's the number one guy. You can't have two number one guys.
No, but maybe then you have a more realistic... more realistic is not the right way to put it, but maybe added incentive to swing a deal for either one of those guys, or including either one of those guys.
See, to me, if you trade Brown this year, he's worth more, longer term on the contract, plus you start accumulating your picks earlier, because they're going to be bad next year, right? Does it make sense for them to fully reboot? Move Porzingis, move Horford, move Derek White, all older players. You move Jalen, you collect a truckload of draft picks, just like the Rockets did, just like the Thunder did. And then you've got a lot of draft capital going into the next several years of draft. And that gives you your year off of no Tatum. The following year, you know, he's kind of got to get himself back in. You're looking for that second year away from the injury is where guys usually take off. So you'll have a year, maybe 2 years, of having high draft picks plus having extra draft picks to rebuild your team around. And then as you're ready to go make that push, all right, now let's go get ourselves a free agent or make ourselves the big trade and go push and go in from there. The NBA has the most unforgiving salary cap, right? In the NFL, nothing's guaranteed, so you can dump guys, move guys. It's so much easier. There's so much more turnover in the NFL because it's easier to move contracts. In baseball, there is no salary cap. So yeah, you're stuck paying them, but so what? You go pay somebody else. The NBA, if you're stuck paying somebody, you can't pay somebody else. And if you screw up in the NBA salary cap, there's no way out. You have to eat it for however long those years are. You can't get out of it. So from that point of view, do you break it down knowing that your best player is hurt and right now they are in cap hell? They have to move salaries.
You can move them, but can't you move them without planning on being bad the upcoming season? Like, Al Horford's a free agent. You're going to save $9 million with him. You're going to be paying Jason Tatum. If you move some iteration of Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Kristaps Porzingis, all of which make at least $57 million per, like, that's quite a bit of savings. Now, the monies have to make sense. You move those guys, you're going to be taking on salary as well. It doesn't mean that it's all one guy, but I don't know. Maybe it's a little ignorance. I don't know why the Boston Celtics have to necessarily be bad. Maybe it would benefit them if they believe, like, you know, Daryl Morey didn't for a long time here as a Houston Rockets GM. Like, we can manage this. We can be competitive and live in that land of mediocrity, so to speak.
Because they are $108 million over the cap.
Yeah, but you trade somebody that's getting paid $57 million this upcoming season in Jaylen Brown, or somebody that's getting paid $30, Derek White's getting paid $29, you move Porzingis and White, there's a combined $57 million right there in itself, and you don't have to give up your best player.
Your best player's out.
Your best player that's healthy, Jaylen Brown.
Not playing for a year.
Jaylen Brown's your best player going
right
into
now,
next season.
And then you look at, you know, where, how many, you know, when you're over the second apron, like the penalties in the NBA as you go over the aprons get insane.
Yeah, I know.
And if you don't think that you are going to compete for a title, you do not want to pay those penalties. And if you've got older guys, because like they can't figure out what's going on with Porzingis, and nobody can. That's the scary thing with Porzingis. He's got some kind of virus or illness. And the doctors haven't been able to figure out what it is. But he can't breathe. He starts running. All of a sudden, he can't breathe and he can't play.
Is there some kind of injury exception like that they can make, given his contract, like a void?
He's not hurt.
Well, I mean, a health
right,
you know, situation.
That situation, A, it's hard to get that exception in the NBA. And B, you have to have an injury. I don't believe there is a illness category to that, but we'll ask Keith.
It'd be pretty wild.
Keith will know.
Yeah.
But the idea being, this guy couldn't play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't breathe. That's scary as hell. How do you move that guy? Who wants him? You're taking a guy you don't know if he can play or not.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I feel like there definitely should be something in that situation, because otherwise the organization that stuck with that contract, they're FUBAR. And it shouldn't necessarily be that case. There should be some sort of exception made. But I do think that's a good question for Keith when we have him on at 440. 713-572-4610 if you'd like to text or call in the program.
By the way, the only three teams that are currently over $100 million over the cap, the Warriors, the Celtics, the Suns.
Ah, the Suns. Not for much longer, though.
No. They might not be $100 million over once they move on from Kevin Durant.
Yeah. It's the Beal and the Booker situation.
You want to talk about another. And then Bradley Beal is another example of a guy who has a contract so large, they can't move him, even though his peripheral, like his points per game are down. But you look at his peripherals, like his percentages, they're all at or better than what his career averages are.
Right.
He's just not getting the shots.
Right. It's hard when you play with Booker and Durant.
You know, like, you think about how when LeBron, Wade, and Bosch all played together, there's only one basketball. Chris Bosch was the guy whose offensive numbers went to hell because all of a sudden he got half the shots he used to take.
I mean, he's also the worst offensive player among the bunch, the grouping.
Well, you're Bradley Beal. You're getting half the shots you used to take. You're still scoring 17 a game instead of 26. What did you expect?
Yeah, exactly. He's going to be a really great player for a really bad team next year for like 45 games.
Yeah, with the 45 games he plays.
Exactly.
The other problem with that contract is he hasn't played more than 53 games in 4 years.
That is the problem with the contract, because if he was a more durable player, you could move him, I think. Coming up next, is this the worst signing in Texans franchise history? Stay there.
John McClain doesn't mince words here.
Appreciate you, John. We'll talk to you next week. God, I live for that laugh. God, I live for that laugh.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
I think Damon Arnett's the worst signing in this franchise's history. How they have lowered themselves to sign a guy like this. And they said, well, he deserves a second chance. No, he's had a second chance with the Chiefs, with the Dolphins. The Raiders cut him. You know, when the Raiders cut players, you got to be bad.
That was the General John McClain, the one and only, with us last night on Area 45. He joins us every Wednesday for two segments. And this morning I was thinking about the question that led to that response. It didn't come out the way that I wanted it to. I asked John if he thought, one, what did he think of the Damon Arnett signing? And then two, that being, you know, one of the shortest areas on the overall team, if he'd felt more comfortable about their depth in the cornerback room. And that was the response there. And I caught myself this morning. I was like, boy, that was just a dumb way to like phrase that question, because, yeah, Damon Arnett, as, you know, good of a season as he had with the Houston Roughnecks this year, and him being a former first round draft choice by the Oakland Raiders then in 2020, you kind of still need insurance for the insurance. Arnett is the quote unquote insurance. We all know Ronald Darby decided to call it quits a few weeks ago and retire. And beyond Kamari Lassiter, Derek Stingley, and the Texans corner that they did draft, albeit in the sixth round, a Jalen of some sort, I believe Jalen Smith, it's a sixth round draft pick. You've got MJ Stewart back there as depth. And I don't know how good you're supposed to feel about that. I don't know how much better you're supposed to feel about that now that Damon Arnett is in the mix for the time being. But obviously that signing or the decision by the Texans to bring him in, albeit on a one-year deal, hits a different way, especially considering the fact, PC, that 9 days ago, Damon Arnett was ordered by a Colorado federal judge to pay nearly $80,000 to a dancer that said he assaulted.
Dancer.
Stripper that said he assaulted her at a house party in March of 2023. He was accused of striking this woman and smashing her head into the ground. That's just one of what is a long line of incidents in Arnett's young life still. And here's a quote from Arnett himself, who spoke with KPRC Local 2's Aaron Wilson last week following his workout with the Houston Texans. Said, quote, "I'm 28 years old right now with three kids, with a mom and a dad that loves me and has my back right now. With coaches, I feel like I've proved a complete turnaround. All the coaches that have been with me right now, I feel like their words would be more valuable because I've said a lot of things in the past. What I would say is what they see on film, that's me being out of commission for 3 years," end quote. The most concerning thing about this situation for me, and he did talk more directly about like himself as a person, but he makes it much more about like just football as opposed to the mistakes that he's made most recently. You know, ones within the last year and a half.
Probably best idea for him. Let's keep it about football. The more you keep it about football, the less you, the more you take the light away from all his off the field things, easier those conversations are for him. He's had a lot of off the field issues.
But you can't ignore it. And I don't think the Texans are ignoring it. But what I do think the Texans are doing is giving a guy a shot that historically in this franchise's history would not have given Damon Arnett or a player like him a shot.
100% agree.
I wonder a lot of things, but I also wonder if this is any indication as to how the Texans may handle Jimmy Ward's future. That's a little bit more of a foggier thing because this is me just personally speaking. I didn't think Jimmy Ward had much of a chance of like making the team anyway because I think contractually he finds himself in a very familiar area that Robert Woods did with the Texans last year, and the Texans decided to keep Robert Woods, but they very easily could have cut him and saved $5 million. The Texans could very easily cut Jimmy Ward and save about $5 million. And you don't feel necessarily bad about it because you like the depth that you have, particularly at safety at that position.
Look, Jimmy Ward's a favorite of the head coach,
mm-hmm.
and he's a leader on the team. And he did something really stupid, or allegedly did something.
Allegedly,
really
stupid. Yeah.
And the Texans, because we're not in the season, they have the luxury of taking their time and finding out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to let it play out because, look, we have seen in the past players get accused of some really horrible things, and it turned out they didn't do any of it. See Le'Veon Bell. Not Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott was accused of beating a woman like 4 and 5 times, never touched this woman. She got beat up by another woman while she was stalking him.
Yeah.
She got beat up by another woman she picked a fight with in the parking lot and blamed it on Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, it's
and
wild.
Elliott got suspended anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, look, there is...
You got to let these things play out.
You got to let it play out. B, you have no idea what Roger Goodell's going to do because in the past, he has demonstrated he has the power to suspend you guilty or not, and whether or not he chooses to do so is strictly his whim.
Mm-hmm.
So, for Jimmy Ward... Maybe the Texans don't do anything. Maybe they don't have to. Maybe he was innocent. Maybe he's not innocent. Roger Goodell steps in and suspends it. Like, it doesn't matter. It's out of their hands. There's no need for them to rush to it because they don't know yet. With Damon Arnett, you know. You know because there is a litany of issues. But we heard from Roughnecks coach CJ Johnson earlier this year about the kind of turnaround that Damon Arnette had shown, the dedication to working out and getting better and being a better player, being a better teammate, and getting his life together, right? So maybe, look, sometimes there is a point where you're just tired of being a screw-up.
Yeah.
And you finally, you know, you heard the talk about, hey, I've got three kids now. And maybe the light bulb finally went off and it's, all right, you know what? I got to get my ish together.
But, you know, the last knucklehead thing that he was accused of doing that he's now having to pay $80,000 for, he still had two kids then.
Oh, yeah. Listen, yeah. I didn't say that, you know, it shouldn't have gone off earlier.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that maybe it finally went off. And look, he still has some things because this, you know, $70,000, $80,000 he's got to pay is from something that happened 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now you've got to handle everything you did. Like, if he's got to pay her $80,000, that's about every dollar he made in the UFL.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things. Right?
Here's the thing for me. One, this is a reserve cornerback. If he works out, cool. If and he rapper. Doesn't, it's not a big deal at all. But I don't think you should have a problem with the Texans giving a guy like this a shot. John McClain to call this the worst signing in franchise history, I get it because I know exactly where John's coming from.
Well, he's sorry.
Looking at everything off of the football field that this guy's done, it's the worst signing. It's the first time the Texans have ever signed a guy with this kind of a track record off of the football field. And I just think about it like this. If there's ever a point in time where you feel like you're taking a chance on a guy and plopping him into a best possible environment situation, it should be this one with D'Amico Ryans as the head coach, with the group in the locker room that expands far beyond just C.J. Stroud, Tank Dell, Will Anderson, guys that are very much, you know, with their heads on straight and have their priorities set in place off of the football field. I'm not talking about football. I don't care about that right now. And nobody does relative to why you're worried about Damon Arnette as a Houston Texan now. It's because of everything off of the football field. I think it's a great situation for Damon Arnette. The question becomes, he's been in a lot of really good situations before. One, just being drafted in the first round. But then two, you know, having spent time with organizations like the Dolphins, like the Chiefs, there might have been another one I can't remember, but he's been able to call himself a NFL football player before, and he screwed the pooch. If there's ever a time in a guy's life that you expect him not to do the same thing over again, it's in this situation with a bunch of really good people around him now.
You got to keep in mind, Nick Caserio comes from New England, where he and Belichick were very much of the mind that their culture could keep guys who are bad apples from being bad apples.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, they did. They brought guys in who, for the most part, who may have had issues before, and they stayed on the true and narrow while they were in New England. And the first sign of trouble, they were out.
Yeah.
You know, so I do think that Nick and D'Amico had a meeting of the minds and said, look, we think our culture is good enough to keep him on the straight and narrow. And if he really wants to be a better person, we're the right place for him. And the bottom line is if he screws up, he's out of here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do think that's part of it. But with Arnette, right, he injured a woman in a car crash when he was speeding and then he fled the scene. He was on a video brandishing firearms and making death threats. He was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon, concealed weapon without a permit, 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance, pulled over for a suspended license. They let him go. They pull him over 2 hours later. Again, same thing, suspended license, only this time, oh, he's also got drug paraphernalia and he's got a controlled substance. You know, it's like how many times? And then a year and a half ago, January 2024, possession of meth, unlawful carrying of a firearm. It's like, this isn't one or two. There's like 5 things in this dude's jacket that's like, when do you get it right? Did he finally get it right?
I don't know. It's 18 months, the longest he's ever gone without doing something stupid.
Seems like it since he's come in the league. But do the Texans believe in the change? and the Texans believe they're the right place for him. That's kind of where we're at with this.
To be determined. He's Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, Tyler Milner here as well. We're Area 45 in for the drive. Coming up next, we have a guest. His name is Keith Smith. He contributes regularly to Spot Rack. He also hosts a show called The Front Office Show on YouTube. We'll talk a little NBA inside stuff with Keith Smith next.
I'm so high on the Rockets.
Let's go Rockets.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, joining us right now on the guest line, he's been covering the NBA for over 20 years. Currently, with Spot Track, with the Front Office Show, Front Office Show podcast, is our buddy Keith Smith. What's going on, Keith? How are you?
A lot going on, but I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, let's start off with the NBA Finals. As you know, a lot of people thought this series, the beginning, was going to be over. It'll be over already, be over in five games. And here we are, game six tonight in Indy, Thunder and the Pacers. Tyrese Halliburton going to play? What do you think it's going to look like?
Yeah, all indications are that he's going to try to give it a go tonight. We'll see, you know, how that kind of comes together for him. My guess is the Pacers are going to have very close eyes on him, and he'll be on a short leash. If he can't move well enough out there to be a productive player on both ends of the floor, they'll go to other options. I think Indiana trusts that they have enough guys that they can still compete in this game and enforce a game seven, even if Tyrese Halliburton can't be himself. I think the only way Halliburton wasn't going to play is if there was any thought of, hey, there's real long-term damage that can be done here by playing. And then we saw him go through that a little bit last year, where he had the hamstring injury that lingered into the start of this season, and it took him a while to kind of get over it. So I think we're going to see, though, that they're probably pretty confident he's going to try, and it's game six of the finals. You got to go out there and leave it all on the floor.
Well, it's your pulse and vibe on this whole situation, Keith, with Halliburton, but you just mentioned it, and I think we all, you know, thought it when we saw them do what they did when he was hobbled last game. Like, they made that a two-point game in the fourth quarter when Halliburton just couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, scored only 4 points. Do you believe that the Pacers have enough in their arsenal? Whether he plays or not, imagine it would be somewhat of a limited capacity. Do you think the Pacers can force a game seven?
I do. I think the Pacers have been really good when they've been kind of counted out throughout the course of these playoffs. There were some people even in the first round who were like, yeah, they're going to get pushed by Milwaukee, you know, even though that's, you know, they should win. And then, you know, I think most picked them to lose to the Cavs, most picked them to lose to the Knicks. And here we are, you know, they're in the finals. And I think they have these games every once in a while. They go out there and they hit a million three-pointers. And the Thunder have these games where they can't make a jumper to save their lives. And if we get a game like that, all of a sudden Halliburton plays, doesn't play, plays well, doesn't play well. We're looking at a game seven, and I think there's a chance that's how this plays out. But, yeah, I think, you know, Indiana's just been so tough, and they should have, by this point, kind of earned everybody's credit. I will say, though, when a team is close, things kind of amp up a little bit for that team, and they can taste it, and the title's there, and it's, you know, all right, I'm going to get on the floor and get this loose ball and those kind of things. And this Thunder team, they look like they know they're right on the verge of winning one.
Keith, SGA is getting the most phantom calls of anyone in basketball history, on the mark or overblown.
Yeah, way overblown. I mean, I'm not playing to the home crowd here, but we all saw what it looked like when James Harden played in Houston, right? Like, I mean, the best scorer in the league gets foul calls. It's been that way my entire life. I grew up that way with Michael Jordan. After him, it was Allen Iverson. After him, it was Kobe Bryant. After him, it was James Harden, Kevin Durant. Those guys would get a ton of calls that, you know, a lot of other guys didn't get. Now we're with SGA. He's the best on-ball scorer we have in the NBA right now. So, yeah, he's going to pick up some foul calls. Are some of them, you know, questionable? Sure. But are a lot of them fouls? Yeah, they are, because part of being a great scorer is knowing how to draw fouls. And the minute he feels that contact gets even the slightest advantage, knows the guy's got a hand where it shouldn't be, he's going to go right through that guy and force the referees to make a call. He's just a really smart player.
Keith Smith, our guest on Sports Radio 610, Spotrac contributor, host of the Front Office Show on YouTube, has been covering the NBA for a long time. Talking about great scores, Kevin Durant, certainly still one of those, even at the age of 37. One of the most talked about players in this city, at the very least. And he's not even a Houston Rocket yet. Will he be, in your opinion? Does this thing, wherever he winds up for the Phoenix Suns, go down to the wire?
It depends on what we're kind of considering to be down to the wire, but I think there's a chance we see this go to the point where this gets done ahead of the draft. I think the Suns have, I'm not going to say that's a hard and fast, like if we can't get it done by draft night, that's it, we're not trading him, because I think they continue to explore it. The Suns want to add draft capital, whether that's to use picks in this draft or to go out and get use those in a trade themselves to go get somebody else. They want to be able to do that. Now, the Rockets' interest, I've been told it's real, but Houston has said, hey, we're not giving up everything. We're not giving all of our kids and all this draft capital. It's going to be, you know, maybe one of the kids, you know, another one possibly, you know, some salary matching pieces have to go out because you got to get to, you know, matching Durant's salary. And then, yeah, we've got some extra draft picks we can throw into this thing. But they've been pretty firm that, you know, hey, we're not giving up the whole farm here for Kevin Durant because he's 37, he has injury issues, and he's only under contract for one more year.
Yeah, Keith, with the whole thing that you just mentioned with Durant being 37, he's got 1 year on his deal. The Suns are over $100 million over the cap. The Rockets, according to DraftKings Sportsbook, they are the new betting favorite to land Kevin Durant. And there have been so many changes in the reporting around Kevin Durant of, oh, it looks like he's going to be a Timberwolf, to, oh, it looks like he's going to the Heat. Oh, wait, the Spurs are back in. Oh, wait, the Rockets. Oh, wait, the Raptors. Where is everything in reality?
Yeah, I'm not saying this in any kind of mean or critical way, but it's lying season, right? Everybody's fibbing about everything out there right now. You know, players are fibbing about who has interest to try to drum up markets. Teams are saying it to try to get, you know, more people involved. Other teams are saying they're not interested because they don't want to give up a lot. It's just kind of this time of year. But one thing I can trust in, because it's been told to me, it's been heavily reported, is that Durant wants either the Spurs or the Rockets or the Heat. Kind of seems like it's in that order, but the Spurs work pretty much in silence. You don't get anything out of San Antonio until it's a done deal. They don't negotiate through the media. They don't play a lot of back and forth of we offered this, they want this. They just kind of go about doing their business. So I don't know that we're going to hear too much about them. There's also a sense that they may be kind of looking at saying, yeah, we're a little further off than maybe the Rockets or the Heat are. So they want to go big for Kevin Durant, go get him. So I do think, you know, these teams are involved. I know Minnesota would love to have him. Does sound like he's poured cold water on that a little bit, as far as I don't really want to be in Minnesota. And the one thing you do not want to do is trade for an unhappy Kevin Durant, because it's just not going to end well for you.
Keith, as you know, an observer from the outside looking in, somebody that's covered the NBA for as long as you have, forget about Kevin Durant right now. Rockets just signed Ime Udoka to a long-term extension today. He's made him one of the highest-paid coaches in the NBA. There's been a 30-win improvement in what he's done with his leadership for them the last couple of years. No Kevin Durant. How does this team get better? How does this team set itself up to be in the Pacers and in the Oklahoma City Thunder's situation, as both of those teams are in the finals? How do the Houston Rockets get better this offseason to be legitimate contenders going forward?
Yeah, I think they got to get more offense. We saw that in the playoffs. You know, I'm a big fan of saying the playoffs reveals all. Whatever you're really good at, people are going to see it. Whatever you're not so good at, teams are going to expose it, and they're going to take advantage of it. And we saw the Rockets, they defended their tails off. They play really, really hard all the time. Those are going to be a kind of a key attribute of any Ime Udoka coach team, because if you don't play really hard and you don't play defense, you're just not going to play. So they're at a spot where for Houston, it's going to be, all right, how can we score more? That's where it all fell apart for them against a Warriors team that was good, but also, you know, limited and, you know, should have been pretty beatable. So whether it's Kevin Durant or that's go get somebody else that can come in and put some points on the board and make life a little bit easier for guys like Şengün and Thompson. And then, you know, if Jalen Green's still around or Jabari Smith is still around, you know, just make it a little easier for those guys to work and do the things they need to do, so much the better. You know, some of that will come internally. I think Reed Shepard's a guy who needs to get more run. We saw Ime Udoka didn't really trust young players all that much when he was the head coach of the Celtics. It took him a little while for guys to get you know, into his spot where he felt like he could play them. So I think Shepard maybe next year will help with the offensive production. But yeah, they've got to put more points on the board, and you got to find that. It's not a great free agent class to go get that done, so it's going to probably have to come through trade, and that's why you're hearing them linked to a guy like Durant.
Hey, Keith, got about 2 minutes left here. I want to ask you, you covered the Celtics for a very long time, and the Celtics are a team that, you know, they're $100+ million over the cap, and they've been, you know, reports about them looking to move salary, and, you know, guys like Holiday and Porzingis' names being mentioned. But Porzingis has this weird ailment that nobody seems to know what's going on with him, and he can't breathe. And then there's reports, well, you know, what would it take to get Derek White? Would they give up Jaylen Brown? What's really going on with the Celtics? Would they actually consider trading Jaylen Brown?
For Brown or White, it would have to be like a monumental offer, which includes good young, and by young, you can read cost-effective players on team-friendly deals, and multiple draft picks. Like, they're going to need, for either one of those guys, probably a similar package to what Desmond Bane just went for, if not more. I mean, with Jaylen Brown, you're talking about a guy who's been an All-NBA guy. He's been an All-Star. He was the Finals MVP. And the Celtics are not just going to move him just to move him. And they love Derek White, and they love the contract Derek White is on. Those two guys, I would say, I'm not going to say they're completely off the board, but you better come with a very serious, very large offer. Now, for Holiday, Porzingis, Sam Hauser, those guys are movable. We're going to see, you know, what it looks like, you know, with their trade markets. But Boston's been insistent they're not giving up draft capital to get off those guys. They're not going to pay a team to eat those contracts. So that's going to make for, you know, a pretty interesting next couple of weeks for them as free agency gets opening up.
Good stuff. That's Keith Smith, contributor to SpotTrac, joining us on Sports Radio 610. Keith, really appreciate you coming on, being gracious with your time. We'll look forward to talking with you down the road post whatever the hell happens with Kevin Durant.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, right. Keith.
Thanks, man. Good stuff from him. He's sharp. Enjoyed that. All right, we're going to roll into the 5 o'clock hour.
So let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I just sent T-Mill a video involving Jaylen Green.
Okay.
That obviously I couldn't listen to it because we were doing the interview.
Hold on. How old is the video?
Very recent.
Okay.
And I sent it to T-Mill so that he could check it out and tell us, is this something we need to talk about? Is this indicative of something with Jaylen Green where maybe we say, you know what? Trade this dude.
Well, that's going to be interesting. So are we going to hear it?
I don't know. We're going to find out if T-Mill says it's a yay or a nay.
Whether or not we hear it, I think you should already know that. And I'll tell you why next.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.